guys, welcome to this episode of the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. I'm Lance Carter. The wonderfully warped mind of Bobcat Goldthwait delivers us the new film God Bless America, when Frank, played by Joel Murray, a guy who, if you said he was down on his luck, would be kind, finds out he has a brain tumor. He comes home, flips on the TV, and decides to end it all. But, as he's watching a slew of reality TV shows, he comes up with an idea. Why not go on a killing spree to rid the world of these horrible people? Along the way, he partners with the teenaged Roxy, played by Tara Lynn Barr, and the two set out to rid the world of this evil. Bobcat wrote and directed God Bless America, and the film is a darkly funny social commentary on the celebrity-worshipping culture that we live in today. Bobcat has known Joel Murray since they filmed 1986's One Crazy Summer, and if you haven't seen that, you gotta check it out. It's really funny. This is Joel's first starring role, and he's got some pretty lengthy monologues in it. One of them totaled 3 pages. Since Bobcat didn't know any 17-year-old girls, they brought Tara in for the role of Roxy. After appearing in a handful of Disney Channel shows, this was her first major role. I talked to Bobcat, Joel, and Tara at South by Southwest, where the film screened to a packed audience who loved the film, myself included. We talked about how Bobcat got the idea and how he's probably done with acting, Joel's experience as a lead, and tons more. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers, because every little click does help. Don't forget that we also have a bunch of other cool actor services available, and columns, and interviews, and a bunch of other cool stuff that you can all check out on the site, dailyactor.com. And now, here's Bobcat, Joel, and Tara.
So I saw the movie last night. Really, really, really good.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. How'd you get, like, the feedback from it? I mean, people are laughing. And,
yeah, people have been very positive today.
It was a good house. Yeah.
It's really strange. You know, I'm almost waiting for the shoe to drop. People have been so nice.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, people have been really nice and excited about it and really liked it a lot. Yeah.
I read something that you said. The original version was 185 pages?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Well, there was just a lot more people got killed. And there was a lot more fantasies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just the one where Joel thinks he's JFK. Yeah.
Hello, hooray.
I'm sure you have tons of friends like in the reality TV business. Have you shown this?
You know, I don't actually have friends in that business. I only have one.
Okay, have you shown that?
Well, he hasn't seen it yet, but there's a shout out to him because he produced a show called Numb Nuts that never went.
Yeah,
and it was like a ripoff of Jackass, so that's why that one show's called Dumb Nuts.
Dumb Nuts.
So I'm making fun of his pilot.
So I'm sure he'd be flattered.
I think he will. Yeah, I think he's gonna laugh when he sees it, and it's called Dumb Nuts. Yeah.
And I do an improv show in Hollywood. And when we come out, there's often TMZ guys that are trying to bait you into saying something after you've had 3-4 beers, you know. They try to just get you to slip up and say something racist or gay bashing or something like that. But it's kind of fun to go out after doing the show. And Bob's come to the show a few times, and we both have kind of like want to slip the...
I did the other night.
Oh, by the way, we kill your boss.
the TMZ is like in my face. Yeah. You know, what's it like being a has-been? What's worse, being a has-been or harassing a has-been?
They say that shit to you?
Yeah. And I said to him, I go, hey, I got a new movie coming out. It's called God Bless America. You guys are in it. You're really going to like it. It's really funny.
So is that something
we
like
shoot
that?
Harvey Levin in the throat.
Is that where this idea came from? Just like people saying crap like that?
No, because I got to tell you, that's water off my back when someone says stuff like that, because it's like, you know, that's the day and age and time we live in, you know, especially if you're a comedian, you know. There's no boundaries. You're supposed to agitate someone. You know, when I do an interview on a radio station, they want to do the one where I snap and get mad and walk off in a huff. So it's just this, no one's really interested in having a conversation or discussion anymore. People are just only interested in, you know, that, the mayhem, the nastiness. And it wouldn't have made sense to make a movie that just said, boy, we're all mean and nasty now. That's why I made a nasty movie about how there's no more kindness.
Yeah. We'll talk about casting. How'd you find these two?
Joel's an old friend. We did a movie called One Crazy Summer.
Ah, yeah. I love that movie.
So I met Joel on that when we were probably both around the same age, really young. And Tara came in and auditioned. So most of my movies are all filled with casts, are all friends. So they're people that I know their talents and what they excel at. But luckily, I don't have many friends who are 17-year-old girls, so she auditioned.
Until now.
Yeah.
Now she's 18.
What was the audition for it like?
It was pretty standard. I went in once for an initial audition. I went in twice for the callback with Bob. And then they called me in again for just another... I mean, I think they gave me like another scene to look at, and then we just talked a little bit.
I probably wanted to talk to you.
Yeah, it was very laid back.
I
think it went well.
Yeah. I think
when,
so.
When it's somebody that's I don't know, the last audition is not about auditioning. It's usually I want to see if they're an ass.
We got lucky with this one, though. She's not an ass.
No.
She just couldn't have been sweeter and better to work with. I mean, as far as 17-year-old girls we could have pulled out of the pool in Hollywood, we could have done a heck of a lot worse. But she's so great and listens and is just a sponge wanting to learn what's going on here and that. And I just really enjoyed it. Because I've done some things where you're with people that are yelling catchphrases constantly and just saying the same thing and being really loud the whole time when you're kind of trying to work on something that drives me crazy. But she was great.
The environment was, when we made the movie, you know, these two were knew all their lines. They knew who these people were. I couldn't have had that kind of time anyways to find it or be patient with people that didn't know their lines.
Did you have a rehearsal process prior
to that?
Did you have any rehearsal?
No, it's really just basically that these two were that good, you know? You know, I knew Joel would be great, and then Tara and our audition were so strong. But the other side of it was, it really was, well, it is a family because my family's all there anyways. My daughter works on it. My wife's a costume designer. My brother's the AD. And then everybody else is my friends. But, like, you know, Joel is such a sweet guy. I mean, he was actually helping other departments in between takes. You know, he's someone that I actually pick up and lift here and stuff. So, you know, so it was a really, really, really nice environment for such a disturbing, violent movie. Yeah.
Well, he does create a wonderful environment to work in, and all the people, there's not a sign or anything, but there are no douchebags. And I think, boy, if you were a jerk, you would stand out.
Yeah, there was one.
There
was one guy who was kind of a hard-on.
Yeah.
But he wasn't my friend.
Yeah.
And it made me really funny. I was like, oh, I can't wait to kill this guy.
Yeah. So he was actually killed in the movie?
Yeah, yes. Early.
Yes, too.
Yeah. But you know, that's a pretty good success rate if you only have one hard-on.
Yeah, yeah. Joel, you have some monologues in this movie.
Yeah.
Man. When you first got the part, how did you, like, what did you do? How did you prepare? I mean, when you get the script, do you have, like, notes all over the
No, sides? I'm not one of those guys that writes all those notes. I think about it, and I reread it and reread it. And, well, it's not like I had one scene to study. I had all of them to study. And so that was kind of weird for me. And I actually called my brother to talk about what's it like to star in a movie and, you know, how do I prepare for this and just, you know, the stamina kind of thing, questions like that. But he didn't ever call me back. until the film was done.
Until it wrapped.
Yeah, until it was done. Hey, yeah, no, that could be a big help. Yeah.
But in his defense, it was a Bob Goldthwait movie, so that, he didn't call him back in 3 days.
Yeah. So, 21 days or something like that. You had to just prepare it a day at a time, and like the one rant in the office was 3 pages long. And we had all of our best friends and my wife were working that day on the set, and I couldn't talk to them because I was over with Brandon, the Asian PA, who was, you know, phonetically getting me to learn the lines. But it was a lot of hard work in that aspect. And then, you know, trying to make them mean something, let alone, you know, memorizing them.
But I remember saying to you when we were doing that, I said, I know you're frustrated, but you have to know that this is really good and that we really were getting this. We really got this. He's really awesome.
Did it take a while to shoot that one specific monologue? The one
it took a while just because of how long it is. I mean, you know, so it was long.
Well, we shot a few scenes that day. It was a Bob Wood production. It wasn't like, I mean, on a regular movie, that would have been a whole day, that scene. And, that was just...
By the way, even like World's Greatest Day was like that with Robin, who would like, you know, shoot a million scenes in a day, and he'd be like, is the kid dead? Is he dead? I go, no, he's not dead. Oh, okay. Like, he'd have to know where he was.
Well, shooting for 21 days, you just mentioned stamina. I mean, is it really like that? Is it kind of like a marathon?
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is. But, I don't know, we had a really good working environment, so we didn't notice it that much. I mean, we all supported each other, and we had conversations, and we laughed a lot, and we had a really good time. So, until it was done, then you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, now you have time to be sick.
Yeah, now you have time to sleep for a year.
Yeah. I interviewed Heidi Leavitt, casting director Heidi Leavitt, and she said about Joel, and I want to, because I would never say this, he communicated through the eyes. That's why you got the part. Is that, I mean, and I can tell, like, a lot of your, like, close-ups, just because I...
One of them is just my eye.
Yeah.
Well, she cast me in The Artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
She didn't cast me in this.
No. I talked to her about The Artist, and she mentioned you.
Right. But, yeah, that was...
Did you see, I mean, you've known him for a while, but, I mean...
Yeah, well, I've known him for a while, but when I was recovering from back surgery, he was kind enough to actually give me a box set of the Mad Men up to that point, and I got to watch him in that. But you know, my wife said, what about Joel for this role? And it wasn't like, oh, I wonder if he can do it. It was like, a big piece of the puzzle fell in. I go, oh, if Joel does this, he'll be a guy that you empathize with, you know. And then in my head, I always thought he was like a doppelganger. And it wasn't until we started doing press and I saw photos. We're nothing alike. I mean, outside of being both white and Irish, isn't that I thought I was like his height almost. So I'm like, oh my God, you know, it was pretty funny. I think he was, I hope I can keep making movies with both these folks. And I do, like, you know, every movie I do, I bring people back from Shapes and Windy City Heat and Sleepy Dogs Lie, and a lot of them are all in this movie, and I love working with my friends, you know.
Why haven't you been, like, in front of the camera in one of your movies for a while?
Well, because I learned a lot with Shakes, and that's like, I mean, I really take this stuff serious, and I think it's distracting when I show up. When I do show up in cameos, it's only because it really has to do with like I played Roy Orbison's ass in Sleepy Dogs Lie, because at that point there was nobody who was going to drop trowel. At that point I was like, okay, it's going to be my ass. And I played a limo driver in World's Greatest Dad because the guy who was supposed to do it couldn't get out of work, and I didn't think it was that much of a stretch that a dude from Police Academy was driving a limo now, but I It has to do with how serious I want to take my directing, and that's why I'm not in it. You know, I really want to really focus on the storytelling, so that's why I'm not in these movies.
What about no more acting for you? Or are you still? I know you're doing stand-up still.
Yeah, no, probably not. But here's the thing. It's like, you know. I think Joel is an amazing actor, so it's great to have him there. And then I go, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm not as good as him or Robin Williams. You know, those two guys are brilliant, you know, filming. So I'll just keep hiring them to
play
me.
Well, also he has the common sense not to do it. I mean, I have friends that have directed films that they're in 90% of. It's just wrong. I mean, what are you thinking about? How much hubris do you have that you think you can direct a film you're in that big a part of and still be able to be a good director and a good actor? It's just, it's insane.
And I also love the ability to sit back and go, you know, we can tweak and fix and make things, and that's all I'm thinking about. I'm not concentrated on memorizing lines or
some stupid 3-page script, you know.
Yeah, I know.
3-page
spiel. It's easy for me to type it.
When you're typing that, when you're doing a 3-page monologue, is it just kind of sort of vomiting from your mind or something? You know what I mean? Or is it just, I mean, have you thought about it for weeks on end and just comes right out?
No, it really is like, it's like, okay, this has to happen here to here, and then I write it, you know? I don't really have, like, going, well, this is going to be my manifesto and how I see the world. It was really like what I had it, you know, I just thought, well, I need to set up Frank at this point in this scene, and that's why, you know, it became my dude.
Sorry, Lance, what's this experience been like for you?
Awesome.
I mean, it's got to be incredible, right?
Yeah, it's been really cool. This is basically, I mean, it's my first movie.
Yeah.
And people have been really excited about it. They, you know, people who've seen it have been very complimentary. I mean, of course, you get people who don't like it. It's, you know, it happens with
idiots.
Any movie. Yeah. Right. It happens with every movie. But I'm really happy to be a part of a film that actually stands for something and isn't just like big studio, blah, blah, blah. We're pandering to everyone. You know, this actually has an audience, and that audience is, you know, they're worth having.
What's your advice to actors?
You've got to do a lot of stuff for free before anybody's going to pay you to do it. I think a lot of actors you meet in Hollywood now, they want a commercial that's going to fund them, and then they want a sitcom, they want a part. But you know, I started out, I did 5-6 nights a week of improv for free, and you got to just get as much stage time as you can and give it away and do as much stuff as you can before anybody's going to hire you to do it.
I was going to say, just be on stage. Whether you're doing improv, whether you're doing theater, it's the best training you could possibly have before and, you get on screen.
And the advice I give actors would be, and they don't believe it, but it's really like, you're enough, you know what I mean? You don't have to do any work. Like, if you really just, you know, are yourself, it will be amazing. It is enough, you know? That's a big thing, I think. Because as an actor, it took me a million years to just play myself, and it was terrifying. And I think it is terrifying for actors to as a director, I try to make it so they can do that. But, you know, that you're enough is what I have to say to an actor.
Thanks, guys, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.